maddening, isn't it? This is Mad as Hell in America. Portland's Progressive Talk, 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You're listening to KPOJ, AM 620, Portland Smart Talk Station. I like that, Smart Talk Station. Well, in the first segment, I gave my prescription for how the Occupy movement should handle what's about to happen this evening, because in about 6 to 9 hours, the Portland police are going to move in on the protest camp, on the occupation camp. On rumors that there are weapons and violence inside the camp. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter to the Portland police. They must act as if it were true to protect their officers, which means they're coming in strong. And my recommendation is we have nothing to defend there. We are already an idea. We are already bigger than any location. We cannot be dislocated anymore because we are an idea, and ideas cannot be dislocated. And I think we have lessons to learn, and I think it's time to fall back and reorganize. I don't want to see anybody getting hurt tonight. It's not worth it. Man, if you need to get arrested, do what you need to do, but do it peacefully and nonviolently. No violence tonight. Nobody gets hurt. This is how we show the world who we are. 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. This is what we're going to be talking about all day. 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620. We are going to take a short little detour at the very end of the show. I have a Skyped interview with Greg Pallast, who is the author of a new book called Vulture's Picnic. He's going to be in Portland tomorrow at the Baghdad Theater at 6 o'clock. I have an interview with him. This guy is like a brilliant madman. I love him. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. I want to hear your opinion on this. Do you agree with me? Should we leave peacefully and reorganize? Or do we need to stand? Is there something to be won by taking a stand tonight? Let's go to John in Vancouver.
Hi, great opening wrap.
Thanks.
Pretty well stole my thunder, but I'd just like to add a couple ideas.
Yeah, go for it.
And that is, firstly, I heard a bus driver, a downtown transit bus driver, say the other day that he'd noticed that crime and just generally the unsavory type people around downtown is way down. Noticeably down.
Noticeably down
that's
where?
That's because they all went to Occupy.
Oh, well, right. I mean, you know, the back door of the system is the front door of Occupy. And I don't think, I think that brings up the point that, right, if we're talking about social injustice here and that we are a movement intended to correct it, then we have to show up in full force to mend it. But it doesn't mean that we need to park ourselves where the influx is so potent that it bowls us over. And I think that's all that went down here. I don't think there's anybody to blame. We're not going to blame people who are mentally ill, drug addicted, who are getting kicked out of a system that isn't helping them. That's what we're all about. But, man, I just think the rush of water is too strong.
And the other thing I want to say is that if these people put up a fight tonight, what's going to happen is they're going to lose their equipment. It's going to get confiscated. And I think they should save it for what we might call future guerrilla occupations that last anywhere from overnight to a couple of weeks. Declare victory. Keep your reputation and image. You'll draw more people next time.
Right on.
You're in good shape. Don't ruin it.
Right on. We've succeeded. This is not a failure. This is a success. It's simply the end of chapter one. Thanks for the call, John. I really do appreciate it. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Do you agree with me? What do you think? Is there something to be won by taking this stand? Or would it not be better to leave peacefully? I think with not one ounce of violence ever. moving peacefully out. What if there were no arrests? I mean, I'm not against people who want to get arrested if that's what you feel you have to do, but it must be nonviolent. But what if we left just this image of no arrests, no violence? Imagine the position that puts us when we come back in the spring. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. I want to hear from you on this. I need your opinions. We got to think this through together. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ. Matt is Hell in America. I'm Adam Klugman. We'll be right back. Adam Klugman, you're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's talk station, and we're talking about the police action that's going to be taken tonight to clear the park of Portland occupiers. It is my recommendation that there's nothing worth fighting for and that they are going to come in hard. I think that this camp has some basic logistical, geographical problems, location, 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 as they say. That its back doors open onto the back doors of a failing system open onto the front doors of Occupy. And I don't think we can be realistically expect to deal with that, nor did we expect that that was going to be the case. In a minute, I want to play a clip because I'd like you to meet some different faces other than the ones we've been seeing on the media in recent weeks. But Bruce, you've been holding a while. Bruce, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up?
Yeah, first of all, Adam, yeah, I appreciate your call for no violence. God, I hope there's no violence.
No violence.
I just hope not. But let's remember, we're living in this Portland's the most conservative big city on the West Coast, in real terms. And we had our mayor get out there, our darling mayor, and deform and defame this movement, which has been extremely peaceful, extremely well organized. I've been down there since day one, cooking and cleaning and so forth.
Right.
The police have joined in with them, and they are prepared. They're not your friends. I don't want to sow any kind of disorder, but I'm telling you, they're not your friends. They're not cuddly. They won't respond to any of. They have a total contempt for the people they serve.
I don't know.
And
I mean,
you can see them with their little mask. They're afraid of getting TB.
Hold on a minute, Bruce. Let's hold on a minute. I don't know that that's true. I think that what you're seeing, I think these people, some of these people, maybe. It's true. You're right. But I think it's not fair to paint every cop with a broad brush. I think a lot of these cops get it. I talked to them on the day of the march. A lot of these cops get it. A lot of these cops are a part of the 99%. They get it. And they're not coming there to pick a fight. Not all of them. A lot of them are coming there hoping that a fight doesn't break out. We've got to see their humanity, not their guilt, man.
The A team that's coming down there are all guys who played high school football. And they are all big. I'm a small guy. They're big.
I understand.
They're intimidating. The Food Not Bombs tent has packed up. The veterans tent has packed up. People are intimidated. They're scared. And the cops love it. I urge every citizen who can hear my voice right now to come down at 11:59 or before and find out for yourself what your city really, how your city treats.
Bruce,
I pray they can come down there and just watch and take it in and stay back and don't be violent, but watch this impending police riot.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bruce. You know, I fundamentally disagree with Bruce's position on this. You know, if we hold them guilty, if we hold them that way, then we're asking them to act on those impulses. We have to hold it differently. We have to hold it in our thoughts, our hearts differently. Assigning guilt doesn't help us, man, because that's what everybody's doing. You're guilty, everybody's guilty. Take responsibility for ourselves and our own values and walk out of there in accord with our own values, in peace, in love, making sure no one gets hurt. That's who we are, because that value has to supersede everything else, and that group is coming. The cops are coming to hit hard. I will say that. Yes, they're coming to clear out this camp. They're not coming to play. So I say, let's not risk violence, not even for a minute. John Rice. John, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up, John?
Adam, I totally agree with you. I'm 65 years old, Vietnam vet, and I saw, witnessed the 68 convention, Democratic Convention on TV. I was in Vietnam in those days, but some of the replays after I got home. And that totally divided the country, and that's how all these Republicans started getting in there, Nixon and Reagan not too long after.
Right.
And I'm with you. Hey, we got to use Martin Luther King's tactics and Mahatma Gandhi, because if we resort to violence, then, hey, we've lost.
The means are the end. You know, John, if we use violence, we will not be able to distinguish our ends from the means that we used. It's impossible. The means are the ends. We are not a violent movement. We will not take up violence. This park is not a viable location worth fighting for. If I thought that this location was worth fighting for, I'd be putting out a different call. I'd be putting out a call for thousands of people to go down there to stand by this. This camp is not the right location for this. It's not that it was wrong. It's just that it's not right now. That's what I believe. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it, John. Let's move on to, oh, my buddy Chris Cox from Junkyard Empire. What's up, Chris? also on the steering committee of the October 2011.org movement. What's up, Chris?
Boy, a whole lot of stuff. How you doing, man?
I'm finally getting clear. I had a really hard day with all of this yesterday. I got to be honest. It was tough.
Yeah, I did too. Well, as you know, we chatted, Adam and I chatted a little bit yesterday, and I think everybody that has been involved in this movement takes it really personally.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things that I want to comment on is, it took me a while to understand this and to accept it, but I really think it's where we're at, is that this movement that we started, this occupational push, we didn't have any grand scheme that we were going to revolutionize the whole country from this one thing.
Yeah.
But what we did accomplish by beginning the Occupy movement was much more than we ever set out to do. We actually managed to tell the government of the United States, which is the problem here, the system.
Yeah.
We actually were able to say to the government and to others to point out what the issue is, which is the people of the United States will actually come out on the streets and we will rebel if you keep pushing us and you keep subjugating us and you keep pushing these anti-humanitarian bills and these anti-humanitarian trade policies. And, I could go on for days.
Well, I think your point is we've demonstrated our will and our capacity to get out in the
exactly.
Streets. We've successfully built an idea that will endure any kind of dislocation, temporary dislocation that might occur. And so we need to take a broader view. This is going to take years and years and years to shift this system.
Right.
The system is sick. Chris, I appreciate the call.
I'll add to that really quickly. I would add to that that what this really is, what I believe we're going to witness now, is what, for lack of a better term, I would say is a tactical retreat. And I mean that in the most traditional way. I mean that almost like in a militaristic way, in the sense that we need to retreat back, and then we need to go indoors, get warm, hibernate for the winter.
And come out strong in the spring.
And come out strong as hell in the spring with a whole new push, what we could call phase two of the revolutionary movement.
That's right.
Or call it whatever you want. But the reality is the people understand now, as does the government, that we will stand up when standing up is what's needed.
And standing up is what's needed. Chris, I'd love to talk to you all day, but I got to jump with some other callers. Thanks so much for the call, man. I appreciate it. That's right. We've demonstrated. I think Chris's point is a good one. We've demonstrated. We built the connections. We are the idea. We are the enduring thing. It cannot be destroyed by physicality. We already exist as an idea. Ideas are indestructible. Let's go to Greg. Thanks for holding, Greg. Welcome to Mattis Hell in America. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hey, man.
First off, I'd like to say that I don't advocate violence at all, but I'm getting a little tired of people saying they're working for peace when what we should be working for is justice, and then you'll get peace as a byproduct of that.
I agree.
I mean, you can have peace if everybody just does what they're told to do. That can be really peaceful, you know?
Right. I think that's a good point. I mean, that's why I said to that the idea, and I appreciate the call, Greg. It's a good point. Peace is cooperation, which means, that we never stand up. But when it comes to situations like this, where the police are coming down and they're coming down to really clear that park, I don't think, unless there's something really important to be won, that it's worth risking violence. And yes, peace doesn't mean we just do what everybody says. That's one definition of peace. That's why I say we start by taking care of our own, the least of these, the people who are most affected by a system that is completely failing to take care of its own. That's the hard part. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, thanks for holding. I appreciate it.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for doing this. I think it's great on your part to make this consciousness known throughout this town. But the reason I called is I've seen situations like where they are right now in this park, and it just may be that some of the people still there are just maybe not capable of striking their camps and physically putting it together, because those who have left may have been their support group at one point. And I don't know about drugs other than what I've heard, and there may be some anarchist type of movement happening, but we've learned in this movement that this movement is very diverse among its groups. And that we as a movement, like you say, we can step back now from this. But what we have learned is that we can move forward at other times with this method and this voice. We don't have to do it right now and jeopardize losing a certain attentiveness because of violence.
No, I that's right. I thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. I think that's exactly how I feel, that if there was something really important to win, if there wasn't something kind of inherently wrong with this geographical location that's placing an unfair burden on the Occupy Portland movement, the actual encampment, I would say, let's stand up to the police. I mean, that goes back to that other caller's point, which is, yeah, everybody's talking about peace, but what about justice? Sometimes you got to stand for justice, and sometimes justice, it requires real risk, and sometimes it requires that we put our bodies on the line, but not this time. This is not worth putting our bodies on the line for. And I never advocate for violence, but nonviolent resistance is sometimes called for. I don't think this is one of those cases. I think we have lessons to learn as a movement. I think we have places to go. I think we have a conversation to have about what just happened, viewing what this occupation as a major success that had a problem that we have to address. Big deal. It's a long view, man. We got a sick system. This whole thing is like an intervention with an addict. You know what I mean? Our system is addicted to money and power and all the perversions that satellite around it. And this is an intervention in the long haul. It's going to take time. The addict has to recognize that they are sick. And that's what this Occupy movement is doing. We have to live to occupy another day. This is not that day. Today we fall back and reorganize. That's what I think. Numbers here, 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. We're going to be talking about this in the top of the first hour. Adrian Ackerman, who's on the ground, who's been a core organizer from the very beginning. People who listen to the show know who she is. She's been a part of the conversation. We're going to have her on the line. She does not entirely agree with me. I think there are parts of what she's... And I sometimes when I talk to her, I don't entirely agree with myself. But I think in essence, we all understand that this movement, what we do agree on is that this cannot be destroyed by a temporary dislocation. And this park has problems right now and problems that place an unfair burden on the Occupy movement. And I think putting some geographical distance between us and the back door of the criminal system for Portland is going to help. It doesn't mean they're not going to come. We have to deal with it. Your calls are next. 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620. Am I right on this? You're listening to Adam Klugman. Matt is Hell in America on AM 620 KPOJ. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. I have no idea what was wrong with that clip. We have got a full board. I'm going to try to get to all the calls. I promise you that we do have a long break coming up, and it's a hard break, which means I have no control over it. If you want to stay on, if we hit the hard break, I will take your calls in the next segment. This is too important to dump people out. It's up to you. I do want to talk to absolutely everybody. I am going to go in the order people called. George, you've been hanging on for a while. George in Lake Oswego, what's up? Welcome to Matt is Hell in America.
Hey, Adam. I agree with you, and I agree with the caller that called, who said he's been down there a lot and was calling for people to show up at midnight. I heard something on one of the TV shows, a suggestion from Wisconsin, I believe it was, that they had occupied abandoned public buildings. Quite a while ago, 8-10 years ago, and he said they're still using them. They've turned them into community centers.
Right,
and,
right on.
You know, I think this is something that needs to be suggested at the General Assemblies. And you know, I see what you're talking about the location at the park.
Yeah.
You know,
but I hear so. Talk to me a little bit. Why do you think it's important for people to go down anyway? Even though we kind of all agree that we can do a better location, tell me why, Ed. You think this is why we should go in here and support?
Well, I'm 58 years old, and I've been watching police violate civil rights for 40 years.
Right on. Yeah.
I've watched them. I got beat myself when I was 18 years old because I had the audacity to step onto the sidewalk and watch some police in my hometown arrest a couple of Indian kids who they just beat the hell out of, Native Americans who they just beat the hell out of.
Right. No, right. So without vilifying the police, what I hear you saying is let's go down there and bear witness. We need to bear witness. And that's
exactly
important. And you know what? Bring your video camera with you. Because this time the whole world really is watching.
Yeah.
And if the police instigate the violence, we will have the evidence. But we will not instigate the violence. Ed, thanks very much, man.
Exactly.
I dig it. Appreciate the call. Let's move on to Joe. Joe in Portland, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up, Joe?
Hey, you know, the Occupy movement, I've been following it ever since it began.
Okay.
And I agree with so much of what they say, and I agree with you. It's time to pull back. But what about meeting fire with fire? I mean, these politicians are under the influence of these lobbyists who got millions and millions of dollars. What if the people formed their own lobby, gathered together, and took their money and fought fire with fire in the halls of Congress?
Well, you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather put out the fire and get rid of the lobbyists. That's kind of where my head is at with this. I think that the problem is that there's too much undue influence. I don't want to be competing for my own resources with people like Shell Oil or, you know, people that want to frack the ground to the point where we destroy the water table under this country. I want them out. I want us all out. This is a people, we the people, for the people, by the people country. And I want money and corporations out of my government, and I want it out now. So I don't want to compete with them, but I appreciate the call, Joe. We are going to definitely probably have to go over the break, so if you want to hold on, please do. Let's go to Sue in Portland. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America, Sue.
Hi. I'm glad you're doing this, too.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that nonviolence is so vital to any country, any movement, because every country that is acting violently, as ours has, as many other countries are, they're going to fall. They will fall. They cannot succeed. They cannot stand because they're wrong. And we cannot follow it by that same action at all. Because it will come to nothing, because Occupy will come to nothing. It will fall if it has violence in it. It must stop.
Well,
and
right.
I said, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm always talking.
I suggest to people that every day, if you open your eyes, you will see little ways and big ways of making a statement, of fighting for justice, of acting in a just way to people, of doing small things, big things, making a stand, saying the truth, showing up for meetings that are lies, TriMet board, one that I just attended. And you say the truth, and you continue to say it, and to re- to react to it and to proclaim it, because truth is so powerful.
That's right.
And it will change minds, and it will change hearts. And it isn't enough just to be on the radio like you are, which I think is absolutely necessary, but we can actually proclaim truth out there in the air.
No, and every day
and every way.
Well, Sue, and I do appreciate the call, but I think that also the other caller, I go back to him, is it's not just about truth, and it's not just about peace. It's about speaking truth to power and getting justice. And the logical consequence of that is peace. So in this call for peace, it is not passive. I'm not talking about some wimpy, simpy version of love. I'm talking about love as the most powerful political force the world has ever known. People have demonstrated this again and again. We must build a politics of love that is unassailable, because we're not resisting anything. But we do need to speak truth and truth to power. Sometimes we have to stand inside, but sometimes, like the Occupy movement, we must stand outside that power structure and speak it from outside of power, because the system is so twisted, so sick. You don't get inside an addict's world and party with them and say, hey, dude, you know, I think you're partying too much. You don't party with them, and you stand outside and you say, I love you, brother. I'm not here to harm you. I love you, sister. I'm not here to criticize you. I'm trying to save your life and mine too. I still got calls on the board. If you want to hold on, we will be back in the next segment with Adrian Ackerman, who is on the ground in Portland, has been on the ground from the very beginning. She will shed some different light on it than I've been shedding. We agree and disagree. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. This is AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's talk station. If you want to hold on, I'll get to your calls after this big old nasty break. Crank up the rage. Welcome back to the second hour of Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's talk station. And what are we talking about? We are talking about the evacuation of the Occupy Portland movement. Whether or not we should stay, try to stay. Is there anything worth standing for here? I am suggesting that we fall back. We do a strategic withdrawal. We learn our lessons and we come back in the spring stronger, clearer, smarter, focused on self-care, caring for the very community that is falling through the cracks. That is our first charge. That is the karma of this movement. We took a stand, and the people who are most in need of social justice came to our door. It is incumbent upon us to respond to that and make that our first assignment. There is no more powerful political statement than that. We're going to get to Adrian Ackerman in a moment, who is a core organizer on the ground, but I promise to get to calls. And Ed, you've been holding a long time. Ed, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. How's life in Hillsborough?
Well, it's wonderful, Adam. I'm mad as hell myself, and that's because I think that you should be spending your airtime condemning Sam Adams for this illegal action that he's taking. He, whatever happens tonight is gonna rest on his shoulder, and it will probably define his political career and overshadow his little event with that 17-year-old boy when he came into office.
Well, I think that's mixing issues, but let's take your first issue first. You think I should be condemning Sam Adams for
that's
this illegal
right.
action?
This is an illegal action. Those people have a right to be there. They have a right to occupy that part. The occupation is an integral part of their protest and their statement to the government.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think you're right, except that I don't think we should be condemning Sam Adams at this point. I don't know if you've gone down to the park, Ed, if you've seen it, its proximity to the jails. I think it's a logistical question. I'm trying to be eminently practical here. I agree that we have a right to occupy the public spaces in this country. I don't think that this is the right public space for this camp right now. It's logistical. I agree. We agree. It's just not this camp. We need a better location. We need to fall back and learn our lessons. I thank you for the call, Ed. It's good to disagree, man. Let's go to Virginia in Oregon City. Virginia, welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
I'm in Portland, not Oregon City.
Oh, sorry about that.
I agree with you and I disagree with you. Don't think there's any reason for people to get their heads cracked open for the honor of staying in the rain all winter. you know?
Right.
I don't know what they would think they would accomplish from here the next few months by doing that. So I'm kind of thinking this is a would be a real Pyrrhic victory. On the other hand, we've seen Portland police kick a mentally ill man to death. There's videotape.
Yes.
We've seen them empty their clips on black people who had the audacity to drive while black.
Yes.
These guys, yes, economically they're part of the 99%, but a good percentage of them are just thugs with badges. Well, I just had to say that.
Well, I can't disagree. There are thugs everywhere in our system. There are thugs on our side, thugs on their side.
Sure.
There's thugs in the world. So
yeah.
What I'm saying is, if we perceive their guilt, and that's what we focus on, I guarantee you that's what we'll find.
Yeah.
So if we seek their guilt, that's what we'll find. If we seek their humanity, we have a better chance of finding
that's
it if we
true.
Seek it.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Now, let me say two more quick things.
All right. I got to move on, but one more quick thing.
If they leave the park, there's a whole lot of organizing they can do this winter. They can have day actions in a number of places that might actually expand their ranks and help them reach out to the larger community.
Absolutely, Virginia. That's only one more. I've got a full board, and I've got Adrian Ackerman waiting, and I really want to get to her. Let's go to Kay in Ocean Park, Washington. Is that right?
That's correct.
Welcome to the show, Kay. Okay.
Yeah. What I wanted to say was I think that your idea of laying a rose at the feet of the police is a really good idea because the Portland police do have a horrible reputation.
They do.
But, you know, how do you confront a bully? You make them look like a fool.
Right, and I think that it's imagine, you know, I have this image, and thanks for the call, Kay, I appreciate it. I have this image of, like, these guys all decked out in riot gear with no one to resist them, standing there in this gear with, you know, roses at their feet. Like, how do you get violent and crazy with that, right? That's the gesture. So we say peace, we say love, and we move on, and we promise to return. I think that's really, really important. We're going to get through two more calls real quick. Gary in Park Rose. Gary, welcome to the show.
I was calling to say that there's a few reasons why that particular piece of real estate is worth standing up for. One of which, I noticed you mentioned the back door of the system is the front door of the Occupy movement.
Yes.
I think that's actually a good thing because it's not just the financial sector of our system that's broken. So they actually have to see the result of their quote-unquote rehabilitated citizens when they're right across the street from them. They're not scurried about.
No, I think that that's a good point, and I think that when Adrian Ackerman comes on, she's going to make that point. But I think that if we're going to take that kind of stand, and I appreciate the call, Gary, if we're going to take that kind of stand, then and we knew that ahead of time, then we needed to provide some infrastructure knowing that that was coming in, because that's a huge load to carry, right? I mean, this is where the system is failing. So if we're going to accept that load, then we have to plan for it. And I think we didn't. I don't think we anticipated the load. And that's it. There's no bad guys here, man. This is a success. Rick in Coos Bay, before we go to Adrian. What's up? What's up, Rick?
I just want to say I think there is a way to bring this forward with or without an active occupation in Portland. I think that Portland did a great job in their GA passing a resolution to call for the abolition of corporate personhood. I think that's something that people can do as autonomous individuals in whatever the groups they're in. We're working on this very actively with the Alliance for Democracy, and there are a number of other groups that are expressing interest. So get out there in whatever group you're in and get them to get involved in the movement to abolish corporate personhood, and that's how we'll move the occupation forward.
Right on, Rick. I agree. That's a very important victory. Thanks for the call. Okay, we've got a clear board. Now we're going to go to Adrian Ackerman, who is a core organizer on the ground. Those of you who have been listening to the show in the past few weeks know Adrian. I don't have her bio in front of me, and I don't want to spend too much time identifying her background. Just know that she is fantastic, and she's been totally committed to this movement from the beginning. She's on the ground. She's the woman that you see in the red hat on TV. She has done an amazing job. She and I don't agree on everything, but I want to welcome her to the show. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm sorry, it's pretty loud out here, so you'll have to bear with me.
It's quite all right. We're just thrilled to have you. So let's start where we really need to start. You know, the Portland Police Bureau put out this statement that seemed pretty heavy-handed to me, saying there's 150 anarchists are arriving soon. We're pulling people in from Oakland and Seattle. They're calling people anarchists without any real understanding of what that is, and they're saying that there are weapons being prepared. Can you address those concerns and those statements made by the Portland Police Bureau?
I absolutely can, and I can do so with some degree of authority. I am a designated as the second city liaison for Occupy Portland of the newly formed liaison team as of a couple weeks ago. So I am privy to the emails from the city and from the Portland Police Bureau, and there were some images of the confiscated items that they're referring to, which in my opinion look like they are torn apart bits from pallets that have been used all throughout camp to elevate tents. There were people that were there was allegations that people were driving nails into boards in an attempt to create weapons. However, a lot of what was going on around camp the last 24 hours was driving nails into boards to construct boxes to take supplies out of camp and take them to off-site storage. So I think it's just one more fear-mongering tactic that we're seeing employed by those people in power. As far as the allegations of anarchists mobilizing for reinforcements, that was always has been, and I think, unfortunately, in the foreseeable future, will be used in a pejorative context. I personally am an anarchist, and my role here tonight is going to be to spread peace and nonviolence, as are the official values and tactics of the Occupy Portland movement. And anyone coming from out of town to stand in solidarity with us in a nonviolent manner is going to be welcome, regardless of their affiliation. We have large presence from the faith communities and the unions in Pacific Northwest coming down to stand with us as well. So I welcome the anarchists. I welcome everyone who wants to stand with us in solidarity and in nonviolent resistance.
I think that's right on, and I agree. So this idea that anarchists are somehow, that they're inherently violent, it equates with violence in the way that they use it, and I don't think that that's the case at all. I appreciate you clarifying that. Why do you think they put out a statement that was really seemed a little incendiary to me, actually?
Well, unfortunately, based on my experience with the Portland police and firsthand experience being attacked by the Portland police and seeing their tactics employed, I think that they are putting it out as a preemptive way and a tactic to justify what violence they may use tonight. I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping they prove me wrong. I think they have a really, really great chance tonight to prove that they're employing different tactics in the way that they approach the public and diffuse situations, especially those that involve the mentally ill. My gut tells me that it's their way of ramping up popular sentiment and support and fear that would justify any movement they may make tonight.
Right. So it's basically kind of covering your bets ahead of time. Kind of characterizing what I would say is mischaracterizing the movement. I've been down to the GA. I don't see any evidence ever, even the slightest bit of evidence, that there's any intent to violently confront the police or anyone in the community. I hear every sentiment that comes out of the people who are participating in the GA has been about peace and nonviolence. We have about 1 minute, and I know you're going to stay to this for this next segment. I really want to. When we come back, I want to hear what the plan is, and I'd like you to have explained to our listeners what the plan is for tonight and what the intent is. But I really do appreciate we are talking to Adrian Ackerman, who's one of the core organizers on the ground in Portland at the Occupy movement. If you haven't been on this planet recently, you should know that the Portland police are planning to evacuate the Occupy Portland site. They have put out advanced word that they anticipate that there are going to be, quote, anarchists and people ready for confrontation. I'll tell you from my observations, I don't see any evidence of that. Adrian Ackerman has confirmed that. So let's hold to this idea that no matter what happens, nobody gets hurt tonight. No occupiers, no police, no violence. This is when we show the world who we really are. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Matt is Hell in America. I'm your host. We'll be right back with Adrian Ackerman on the ground in Occupy Portland.
AM
620 KPOJ, Portland's smart talk station. I like the smart. I heard that. I was listening to Carl's show. They added that in there. That's smart. I like that. I think it is smart. Not progressive. It's just smart. And progressive is smart. Welcome back to the show. We are talking to Adrian Ackerman. If you have a phone call or a question for Adrian, who is on the ground at the Occupy Movement, she's been one of the core organizers from the very beginning. She's been on this show several times. In my opinion, she is awesome, even though we don't all agree, she and I don't agree on everything. She is absolutely amazing and clear and committed to this movement. So, Adrian, welcome back to the show. Let me give out the phone numbers, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 if you have a question for Adrian Ackerman or myself. All right, Adrian, before the break, we talked about we were going to lay out the plan. What is the plan for this evening and the intent?
Well, first of all, thanks again for having me on, and I think you're pretty damn awesome, too.
Okay. Thank you.
So the plan for tonight, we've been doing a ton of outreach. You know, unlike any other city in the nation, we were afforded close to 3 days' notice for this evacuation or this eviction. And so we've been doing a lot of outreach to labor unions, faith communities, neighborhood associations, and affinity groups throughout the Portland metro area. What happened as a result of that is the ad hoc planning of an OccuFest or an OccuPotluck, depending on who you ask. It is going on starting about now and going as long as it needs to. There's a huge rally that's going to be at Pioneer Square in about a half hour at 5 o'clock, and then they're going to march down at 6 o'clock to meet us down here at the occupation and celebrate the spirit of peaceful resistance with us. It's a family-friendly event. There's been efforts to clean up camp, move out supplies, and create a welcoming atmosphere for anybody who wants to come down and stand with us. We're not asking for people to participate in civil disobedience if they're not comfortable with that, but we do hope that as many people as possible will stand on the sidelines and stand with us, just show their support throughout the night. Now, even though the eviction time that's been given to us is 12:01 a.m., what we have seen repeatedly throughout the nation as these evictions have been enforced is that 12:01 is usually the time that's given, and then the tactic that we've seen employed is the police waiting until 4, 3, 4, or 5 in the morning before they actually move in. And I think the idea there being that the people who aren't willing to stay are gone by then, and the people who are willing to stay are more tired, and so resistance is less. I can only hope that whatever tactic they employ tonight, that we'll have a solid base of community members there to stand in solidarity with us and observe what happens.
What is the nature? We're talking to Adrian Ackerman, who is on the ground in Portland, Occupy right now, one of the core organizers. What is the plan for people who are going to make the choice to be arrested and resist the eviction? Are these people ready? Are they trained? I'm concerned that people who make the choice to be ready to be arrested are not ready and don't understand it. What is your assessment of that?
Well, we have a really, really great legal team from the National Lawyers Guild and a bunch of core organizers with a lot of experience in civil disobedience. We're holding rotating classes all day and have been for the last several days and for the last 5 weeks, but concerted effort the last few days to get those that feel like they want to participate in civil disobedience tonight to know their rights. And we encourage anyone who wants to know their rights. So we're providing space for that all throughout camp, all day and all night.
Are there any voices that you hear that are advocating for any kind of confrontation with the Portland police?
Absolutely not. I have not heard anything like that.
That's good to know. I have not heard anything like that either. I think that the statements that have been coming out from the Portland Police Bureau are intended to kind of cover any eventuality that there might be violence. And I think that it's unfortunate, but I'm glad to hear that you're not hearing any of it. I was at the GA on Thursday. I didn't hear anything or feel anything. There were no outbursts of that. There is no feeling of violence. How many people would you say are planning to stay and be arrested?
You know, I can't give an accurate assessment of that. There's a lot of people, but I'm bad at guesstimating, and I just, you know, haven't gone and asked every single person that passes by me. But
okay.
But I know there's going to be several hundred at least.
So, you know, you heard my monologue, and you and I spoke earlier. I was saying that I think that this location isn't something worth resisting for. I think that it seems like a strategic time to withdraw and regroup and learn our lessons and come back. And I know that kind of in spirit you agree with me, but you differ from me slightly. You feel that there's real value in trying to hold this space. Explain to me and to the listeners and to me again, because I kind of lost it, why you think this is important.
Sure. Well, you know, just to be clear, nobody is actively resisting to hold this space for its real estate value. We are actively resisting to hold this space as an idea and a symbol of our right to assemble and our right to redress the government for grievances. This space was chosen in the beginning tactically because it is at the front and back doors of our judicial system, of our city and its officials. We wanted to be right there in their faces with our dissent, our peaceful dissent, from the very beginning. So that's why this location was chosen.
Right.
Now, that being said, there has been a lot of talk amongst organizers about how to expand this movement and make it accessible to those people who are not willing to camp downtown overnight or who feel that downtown is inaccessible. And I think as this movement grows and as we move beyond the crisis of this weekend, that we'll see the occupation take on a lot of different faces. And I don't think that personally this Lounsdale Chapman Square are going to be the be-all and end-all of Occupy Portland. However, it is very important to defend our right to assemble here and to assemble creatively, to assemble overnight and create the space where these conversations about broader visioning and movement building can be held. That's the most effective thing that has come out of this space. And regardless of where it is, that will continue to happen. But right now, I know you're calling on people to leave peaceably. I think it's just too late for that sort of collective decision to be made. And that's my
right. I think at some level it comes down to some people are going to make their individual choices. Well, all I say is that people who choose to be arrested, that is your right. That is your choice. Just please do it nonviolently. I have a question for you on the board here. So I'd like to plug it in, Adrian. Hold on.
Absolutely.
Sue in Portland, you have a question for Adrian.
Hi, Adrian. Thank you for being on.
I lost Adrian.
Oh, no.
Well, she's probably... Enrique, will you call her back, please? Thanks. Sorry about that. Well, go ahead. We'll restate. Do you want me to hold and take a call and then get back to you?
Can I just go ahead and...
Go ahead.
And do the question? I was downtown this afternoon at about 2:30 near 4th and Morrison, and an armored police van with riot police on the outside of it came up Morrison and turned north on 4th, heading down 4th. And I'm just wondering if she is aware of any kind of action that they might have been involved in at that point with Occupy Portland.
Okay, I will get, she's back, and so I will get her on the line, and we'll listen offline. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Adrian, I'm terribly sorry. It was not personal. It was purely a technical lapse. So a woman just called in and said that she saw an armored SWAT car coming down, I guess, 5th or Salmon or one of the streets there, wondering if you saw it and wondering what your take on it was.
Well, you know, I didn't see it. I actually stepped away from the park to make this call because it's just
madness.
Hard to be at camp and not be approached. I didn't see it. It doesn't surprise me in the least. We're expecting a large showing of force tonight. Even if the police do not get violent, we're expecting kind of a puff piece from them. And there's already cops in their riot gear walking around camp, and they have been all day. I don't know. My take on it is that I hope that they don't plan to utilize those means or their weapons. I don't think that we need a SWAT team. There's no indication that we do.
That's right.
The only people talking about violence tonight are the police and the press.
Right on. I think that's right. And I think that we have to hold that line. We are not about violence. I think people need to stay in pairs. We need lots of video cameras down there so that when these, like when Portland, when Oakland blew up, they were saying, well, the protesters started it and we didn't see a single video of that. What we saw were video of police instigating violence against protesters. If that's the case tonight, we need a record of that. So get your video cameras out.
And one thing I have to say to that is that sometimes that gets really hard, especially in a place like Portland where we have a history of agent provocateurs posing as most often anarchists. It's a tactic that is employed worldwide, but heavily in the States and even more so in Portland. We have a police department that's under federal investigation for its tactics. We all know of its tarnished reputation, and I think that these police are largely overworked due to the occupation, and they're looking for a fight. And
we're not going to give them one.
It's absolutely expecting the provocateur presence, and that's something that we are trying to, as a group, work on how to diffuse tonight.
I have one more question for you, and then I'm going to have to let you go, Adrian. Hold on one second. Let's take a question for Adrian.
Okay.
And you held on the line. Press, is that your name, or are you from the press? Are you from the press, or is your name Press?
My name is Press.
Okay, Press, you have a question for Adrian.
Yes, I do. Adrian, the reason I believe the city and Mayor Adams is trying to evict Occupy Portland from the parks downtown is because Police Chief Reese has recently been saying he wants to run for mayor, yeah. And polls show that he's getting a 20%, he jumps to the lead of the pack, and this, his main support is coming from the Portland Business Alliance, and this is the beginning of the Christmas shopping season, and Reese is just a money thing for Reese.
Go ahead, Adrian. Yeah, I saw that report too. It's like, well, it's the Christmas trees here and everything. So there are all of these things in the mix. Adrian, do you want to respond and then take a parting shot? Thanks for the call, Press. I do appreciate it. So Adrian, you want to address that? And then I know you got lots to do.
Sure. Yeah, Press, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's going to be some really strong posturing on his end. And I think we know that from times of crisis when officials step up and rule with an iron fist, that especially when there's fear involved in the public, they tend to jump ahead in the polls for right or for wrong. I would argue for wrong.
I would too.
Yeah. I think that's an absolutely viable reason for all of this. Like I said, this is a real opportunity for the police department to show that it's in active training of how to defuse situations, of how to protect people.
Yes.
And I really hope that they come through.
I know that they will. I'm holding it that way. I want to see it go down that way. I really appreciate your time. Parting shot before I move on, and you move on. You got a lot more to do than I do. Do you have a parting shot?
Yeah, my parting shot is that I think even more critical than our economic deficit in this country is our deficit of critical thought and of imagination. I invite everyone to come down tonight to experience the General Assembly for your first time. This may be the best one to experience. I'll be facilitating it. We'd love to have your voices, your solidarity, your hot tea or soup.
Right
and,
on. Yeah, don't come empty-handed.
Excuse me? Oh, yeah, don't come empty-handed. Unless you're willing to give out some hugs. And I just want to say that for those of you that are growing impatient with the movement, please remember that it took over a year for the basis and value statements that shape our nation to come together, much like from forums like that we are holding right now. And be patient. We are actively working on legislative solutions, but we need to hold and preserve our right to assemble and work on these solutions publicly.
Right on. Thank you, Adrian Ackerman, on the ground in the Occupy movement. I wish peace and love to everybody there, and nonviolence to everyone. No one gets hurt. Thank you so much. Be safe.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. In a moment, Tangerine Bolin, who's been a part of this conversation, often in the same studio with me and Adrian, she's going to join us. We do have calls on the board. Someone disagrees with me. I always like to take those calls. When we come back, Adrian Bolin, 503-248-0620-1866-452-0620. This is Matt, it's Helen America. I'm Adam Klugman. I don't know where that segment went, man. It's gone. We'll be right back. Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's smart talk station. In studio with me to help me with calls, because I knew I would get a lot of them, is Tangerine Bolin. She is the executive director of Revolution Truth. RevolutionTruth.org is the website. You've been listening to the show. You know who she is. She's been helping me to facilitate a conversation about the Occupy movement, where we go, what we do. So I called and asked if Tangerine would come in and help me facilitate this conversation in the second part of this hour and help me take some calls, because we've got quite a few of them on the board. Tangerine, welcome.
Thanks for having me here.
You're going to help me take some calls here?
Absolutely.
I'm getting tired. Here we go. Chris, thanks for holding so long. Chris in Portland, welcome to Mattis Allen America.
I'm so glad my battery held out.
Man, I'm sorry about that. I get rapid and my lips start flapping. There's no stopping me.
Hey, you know, it's a challenge.
Yeah, I'll talk to my wife. Anyway.
Well, my suggestion was that perhaps we could, I'm elderly, I don't want to go down to a park and sleep even when it's nice, much less be down there in this kind of weather. And so I was thinking, could we do something like a flash mob for events?
A flash mob where?
Well, at different locations.
Right.
Bank of America, you know, different locations that, as it comes up, or perhaps at homes that are being foreclosed.
No, I read a story, and I want to, thanks so much for the call, Chris. This idea of flash mobs, a kind of elongated version of that, Tangerine, was I saw in Oakland what they were doing was helping people occupy their homes that were being foreclosed on. What do you think about that idea?
Oh, absolutely. I support that. I think I've said that a few times on the show. We should be doing that across the country.
Right.
Occupiers should be going and surrounding the houses of people who are being foreclosed on.
Right. It's this whole idea of what we do. The statement, the first political statement that we make as a movement is that we care for our own.
Yes.
And if we succeed in doing that, we will succeed in making our first profound political statement. That's my take on it. Let's go to another call. Mike disagrees with me. I got to take Mike's call. Mike, you disagree with me. What do you disagree with me about?
I disagree on, I seem to get the feeling that we have an anti-violence movement and against social problems.
Uh-huh.
And when I heard the word justice come up, well, we have many injustices in this world, in our country.
Right.
And these people.
Which people?
The ones who are going to bear an unfair burden,
okay.
Which I believe that any that took up the original cause had already made up their minds to accept such a burden. And a burden can include being arrested.
Yes, I agree.
And when we talk of violence, it will be the violence against them when they are not committing any illegal acts. And that is the actually part of the point of the whole demonstration is there are many illegal acts committed against the citizenry today.
I agree.
Nobody is doing anything.
I agree, and I think that if people make an individual choice, thanks for the call, Mike. I think if people make an individual choice to get arrested, that's their choice. Tangerine?
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people are planning on getting arrested tonight. They're definitely planning on holding their ground, but peaceably so.
Peaceably
and
so.
There's hopefully a huge commitment, I think, across the board from everyone except for maybe a small group of people and or provocateurs that are committed to nonviolence. So,
Let's talk about provocateurs and callers. Hold on. I want Tangerine to have, she drove all the way down here. I want to make sure we have time to get your input. We talked a little bit about this. So you feel that pretty certain that there are provocateurs in the mix.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't. I know it sounds weird to say, but if you think about this from the federal level, this is a scary thing that's going on. It actually is starting to engender some real change. We're putting pressure on the federal and our state governments. And, you know, this could just grow and grow. If it's successful, it could become a full-scale, hopefully, preferably nonviolent revolution. Well, our government doesn't want that. No way.
Right.
So you can be guaranteed, you can be sure that every sizable Occupy is infiltrated. I mean, that's just par for the course.
For
it's to
sure.
be expected. It's in every revolution or every uprising.
By local police, but what about, well, now we're talking about FBI infiltration.
I would hazard a Homeland Security. I mean, I would hazard a guess. I think that's a fair assessment from their end. They need to engage in crowd control. They need to, you know, dismantle and defuse this thing. It's critical from their end. So, you know, the PSYOPs, which is not necessarily legal in this country, is probably still applied in this country.
Sure.
And it's people, you know, do infiltrate and do try to divide, derail, and destroy these kinds of things. So if any violence occurs tonight, it'll either be irresponsible, stupid jerks who are not part of this movement and don't know what they're doing,
right,
or they're deliberately there to do just that.
So that the role of the infiltrator is to instigate violence and discredit the movement.
Yeah, and cause harm, irreparable harm to the face of this.
Yeah, that would be incredibly tragic. And if there are any infiltrators out there, I am calling on your humanity not to do this. This is bad juju, man. Do not do this. We have some more calls, but I want to get your kind of general take on where you're standing with what's going on. The police are coming. Give me your kind of general sense of where you stand with
this. It's funny that you confused mine and Adrian's names earlier. We're joined at the hip at this point, but it's so funny because Adrian and I have really different standpoints on
right,
this.
I know.
She's really involved. I'm not. I've been a pretty heavy critic of the camp and the GA process as an outsider. I think I've angered a lot of people, but I'm steadfastly behind this thing, whatever it is, and I'm definitely pro moving out of there tonight. I think that it's run its course in this iteration, and I think that, you know, I'm encouraging everyone to peaceably assemble and pack up and have that emergency GA tomorrow. And we all come together, not just the occupiers, but non-occupiers like me and all kinds of people across the city and state who want to be involved, but were really unfortunately turned off by what just happened. We come together. We start doing town halls. We make a real plan. We connect. In fact, this week I'm inviting a good sizable, you know, group of people, of total strangers, to my house for wine and appetizers, because, you know, what we didn't get a chance to do is start to get to know the people we were working alongside during this thing. And it was really tense. And this, you know, this is a chance to really start to turn things around. And I think that I'm voting for Occupy Portland Reboot, you know, 2.0. It's
Right.
Yeah.
I see it as the end of chapter one.
Yeah.
I see this as a success. I think we have to view it as a success. We had a challenge that overwhelmed us. It would be like getting too close to the pipe. We need water, but, you know, we want to help people who need help, who are falling outside the cracks of the system.
Well,
we were really close to where they come out, and I think it overwhelmed us, and I think it's logistical.
Well, and I think we also really want to connect with people across the city and state who have the urge to support this but don't feel like they can with this iteration.
If it ends in violence, they won't come. So we must not have any violence.
Yeah.
We're in with Tangerine Bolin, Executive Director of Revolution Truth. RevolutionTruth.org is the website. We're going to come back more with Tangerines and your calls in the last segment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's smart talk station. I'm going to go to calls. We want to get through all of these calls. I'm going in the order they were received. Joe, help me. I got to get through this in about 7 minutes. Welcome to Mad as Hell. What's up?
Hey, the thing down there in Oakland, there is a private security guard that was across the street from where this first initial massacre took place. And he saw the police staging and doing all their fascist Nazi tactics, and he went and got a video camera. And he was being interviewed, I believe, by the guy's name is David Barsamian on the Pacifica Radio.
Barsamian, I think it is, but yeah, go on.
What's that?
I think it's Bar Simeon, but let's not waste mince words. Go ahead.
He was being interviewed on there about 2 weeks ago, or just a few days after this this so-called riot took place. So the lady that was on there was correct. They do have this infiltrated up the yin-yang, and this has been going on for at least 30 years because Abe and Joe, who do a talk show, I think it's on Tuesday mornings on the Boo, they were talking about when they were trying to do a peaceful Vietnam War protest back about circa 1970.
Yeah.
And they were going to go around to all the buildings that had flags on them and lower them to half staff in honor of all the Vietnam vets who had died. And but they said if we encounter any resistance, even in the slightest form, we don't mess with the flag.
No. All right. Well, that, I think that's right. There are infiltrators. Thanks for the call, Joe. I do appreciate it. Don in Albany, you've been waiting. Don, welcome to the show, man.
Good afternoon, Adam.
Afternoon.
Tangerine, if she's still there.
She's here.
Hi there.
This is sounding redundant. Wasn't it Gandhi who once said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win?
Yes.
Yes, it was. That's right. So there you go. So it's a long process, Don, and I think that's an excellent point. We got to be in this for the long haul.
Yeah, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, for sure.
Yes, quite a long marathon. Let's go to Gouda. Do I have it right? Gouda?
Correct.
Gouda, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adam. Just to add to what a couple other callers have been saying, there's also some rumors going around that the police actually provided these drugs that are giving these overdoses to these people out of the evidence locker. So it just seems like it's all on cue, like the previous caller said about the Christmas season coming up and, you know, this officer wanting to be mayor. You know, it's just all on cue and how easily our mayor folded on his previous stance when that started to happen. So, yeah, the provocateur thing is really scary.
That's a go. Yeah, I hadn't heard that. Thanks so much for the call, Gouda. Tangerine?
I don't know. Call me naive and conservative here, but I just don't tend to think that the police would do that. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the long history with the Portland Police Department that a lot of people do here because I've been here under 10 years. So I guess I want to believe that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Even though I believe I do know that federal and other agents would be here, but handing out drugs from evidence lockers, I just...
It wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility, but again, I think it's about who we are, not about who they are. It's not about what they do. It's about what we do. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility,
though. Okay, well, maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't, and maybe I'm really naive, but I have to say, from as an outsider, it seems to me that the Portland Police Department in this instance has gone out of its way to do a good job
so
with Occupy
far.
Portland.
I would hate to think that that was the case.
Yeah.
I would hate it. Let's go to Cassie in Hillsborough. I'm going to get through all these calls. Cassie, welcome to the Madison in America. What's up?
Hi. Well, I've been a supporter of the movement and been to some house meetings, one of which I went to a couple weeks ago with Move On. And we had somebody from the General Assembly come and talk to us, James.
James Schwartz.
Yeah. And what I got, the sense I got from him was that the people that have been disenfranchised in the past are afraid that one, like, kind of cause will take over the movement. So that there's been a hesitation, I think, to get that organization solidified. Because everybody's always saying, what's the purpose of it? And, you know, there's a lot of purposes of it. And basically, it's the person that the 99% that aren't heard and the one versus the 1% that are heard too much and are governmental.
Cassie, thank you. I'm going to let Tangerine respond.
You have a really good point, and so does James. And I think that we tend to agree on this. We're in a tenuous situation where we have to embrace that paradoxical imperative. On the one hand, yes, we don't want to be. We're facing forces that want to reduce this. Make it reductionist. They want to concretize it and divide and conquer it. Essentially, do not have the power to negotiate with that at this stage. It would be a matter of appeasement. The other side of this is the general public, the larger public, does need something more concrete to hold on to. And so I think we are in a dance right now. And the smartest thing we can do is come together and craft much better messages about what this means to so many of us. That this is system-wide stuff. These are entrenched toxic issues and they affect all of us. So we need to start messaging a lot better while behind the scenes we're working on our policy objectives, which people across the country are working on. And then we need to make demands later when we're ready.
Right. I agree with that process. It's a patient process. It's a thorough process. It's a taking account of ourselves process. I'm going to go to Jeff to let him close out in a minute, but I want to tell you what's coming up in the next hour. Jeff, I don't think we're going to have time for your call, buddy. I am so sorry. That is my music. Tangerine Bowen, Executive Director for Revolution Truth, revolutiontruth.org. Thanks so much for coming in. I wish we had more time, but I have a feeling we'll be doing this in the future.
Thanks, Adam.
Coming up, we're going to have a somewhat difficult conversation with a group that calls themselves the Real Occupy Portland Movement. I immediately have a problem with the idea that we would call themselves real because that means that there's a fake one somewhere, and I don't think that's the case. I've told them that I have an issue with it. They're coming on anyway. We're going to have a conversation, but I think everything needs to be aired. Everything needs to be put out. No more eggshells. No more politically correct cautiousness. Let's put everything on the table when we come back. And Greg Palast, too. You're listening to Mattisell in America. This is Adam Klugman. I'll be right back.